This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. It's the first weekend in May, and I'm so excited to be talking with John Schwartz. You're wondering, who's John? Well, John is the founder and president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. John, before we get into it, let's give our listeners a chance to figure out how to get in contact with you. Is there a website or even a telephone number?
Yeah. Hey, Freddie, thank you very much for having me. And our website is www.endefa.org. Again, endefa.org. So please reach out to me. We have a contact button on there. It's great to hear from you.
The last time we got together, we were talking about two cases at the Department of Justice found involving elder abuse. And from what I'm gathering, John, you just cannot underestimate this predator's ability or their commitment to take us, to separate us from our money.
That's exactly right, Freddie. In these two cases, the first one, Peaches Sturgio, she was approximately 30 years old, or at least in her early 30s, when she started her targeting of an individual who was in his 80s. He had at least $2.8 million, and he was a Holocaust victim. So in her eyes, as a predator, this is a very good target for her to try to exploit. And she was successful at it. At the end of the day, she was able to steal the $2.8 million, left the victim without even an apartment, and she's driving around in brand new Corvettes and then brand new Suburban. So that's how these predators operate. And so, yes, that's the message, Freddie. Do not underestimate the greed and ability of these predators.
So these individuals are not necessarily just calling you up on the phone and saying, expressing how they're trying to get to separate you from your money. But in these two cases, these individuals pressed and pressed over a couple of years at the very least.
Well, that's right, Freddie. So in this first case, Sturgio and the Holocaust victim, they met on a dating website. Now, I don't know if Sturgio was on the website intentionally trolling for elderly victims, or if she was just trying out the app. I don't know that. But I do know that she did find this victim on the dating app and then started grooming him over a course of years, according to the press conference from May 2017 to at least October 2021.
Well, so how can somebody really detect who these individuals are when these individuals walk into their lives with the idea of taking your money?
Well, that's the whole trick behind these predators, especially predators like Sturgio and Hampton. They're very difficult to detect. So you have to pay extra attention to these individuals. But in the case of romance scams, if they're trying to move the relationship more quickly than you're comfortable with, that's a red flag. Also, if you do meet somebody online, ask them to do a video call with you. And if they're not willing to do any type of video call with you, that's a red flag. So that's how you can detect on these romance scams. And then with Carl Hampton, he was an exterminator who came into his victim's home performing extermination methods. And at that time, he started moving that relationship. He offered to be take care of this lady. And then he moved very quickly to sign over the power of attorney and have him named on the revocable living trust and her will. So those were red flags.
So do we need to have our family members or friends act as sentries to protect ourselves, John?
You know what, Freddie? That's probably the best way to harden a target, right? I mean, build your trusted inner circle, and if you're bringing somebody else into your life, at least have somebody in your inner circle meet these individuals and ask their opinions. Hey, what do you think about this person I met online? And listen to their honest opinion, and that's probably the safest way to protect yourself.
John, we could really go deep into this topic, but we have to stop right here. How can we gain more information from you and about the Center to Stopping Combating Elder Financial Abuse?
Yeah, so please, I encourage your listeners to go to our website, www.endefa.org. Again, that's www.endefa.org. I have 18 cases of convicted predators, and you can continue your learning there. And please reach out to me if I can help.
All right. He's John Schwartz, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Joining us now is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to learn more about the fine work of Joe McKenzie and his team, you can go to rippleconnects.com or even call at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, hello there and welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And where are we going this week?
Well, we want to continue with our series on your book, Words to the Wise. And, what I like to do is take in some of your words and ruminate on it for a couple of weeks. And how does it apply to my career? And this week, your wise words or your dreams are more valuable than money. And that really hit home with me because in the last 3 years, I've achieved one of my dreams, and that is to be a leader in the nonprofit industry in Minnesota here. And I can tell you that the dreams that I had to get there, the process, the journey, once I achieved that, that couldn't replace any kind of anything else but just being in that position and being a chance to feel valuable with my transferable skills, and mostly how my transferable skills and my leadership can impact others. And that was a longstanding dream that I had. But for Freddie Bell, when you wrote the words, your dreams are more valuable than money, what did you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting, Joe. We can end the program today because you expertly outlined the essence of what I'm talking about, in that your dreams are more valuable than money. And I'm thinking that I'm pretty confident that anybody listening today has done something purely just for the money. And I'm thinking at some point in your life, your motivation to do a job was to get that extra money. And money mm-hmm. can help us in a lot of areas, but is it as good as the fulfillment that you get when you achieve your dreams? Now, for me, when it comes to decisions in my life, what would you rather be chasing, the money or your dreams? I think, in my opinion, dreams are what fuels us. And a lot of people still believe that money buys you happiness, but it's just a temporary situation. Now, sure, sometimes it can. You can receive a sense of freedom. You can get temporary happiness whenever you buy something new, like a new phone or a laptop or clothes. But now for a second, Joe McKenzie, I invite you and our listeners this morning or today to, for a second, just forget about the money. And I also invite you to think about the dreams. Think about the light on a person's face when they achieve their goals. When somebody finally gets to attend their dream college. I can remember the excitement when my daughter got her acceptance letter to KU, or maybe getting hired for their dream job. You mentioned that earlier. The mm-hmm. whole other side of life that you didn't know existed because you were blinded by money is because you're seeing dreams realized. And if you ever feel stuck and you don't know what to do next, when life feels meaningless, it's quite possible that it has something to do with money. We see a lot of stuff online. We see people telling you on social media about how great their lives are. Everyone seems like they're living such a great life, winning in the game of life. But most of the time, you automatically presume that it's because of the money they have. But when you look closer, You see that the photos are only about a tenth of 1% of somebody's life. And these photos are picked specifically to show off the best part of somebody's life. And I'm going to tell you that that's more often than not incorrect. So I've got some thoughts about money, Joe McKenzie. And the first thought is that money can be taken away in a heartbeat, the blink of an eye, and it's gone. And there are so many ways you can lose money. You can be robbed. You can get sued. You can gamble it all the way. You can just simply lose it. There are infinite ways you can lose money, whereas dreams can't be lost. Even when you believe, when nobody believes in you, let's go that way. As long as it is truly what you want, nothing can take away that dream from you. You're always going to keep moving after others rip you apart. As long as you're still there, you've got that dream and you have the ability to progress. Now, I'll just let that ruminate for a second, Joe. So no one, in my opinion, can rob your dream, but money can be taken away in a split second, a lot of times without you even knowing about it. I had Enron stock. I worked for that company years ago, and we were always purchasing and getting stock, Joe McKenzie. One day, I looked at the account, and it said that my account was worth a dollar each stock. And I thought, I didn't think too much about it. It said a dollar. You know what? That's just, it's not true, because I know how much it's worth. Mm-hmm. And then over time, I started reading the news, and I'm finding out that the company was going belly up, and that all the stock that I'd had in the years that I worked there was absolutely worthless. So my retirement, my savings, everything was gone, and I didn't even know that it was leaving, Joe McKenzie.
It was taken from you.
Yes. But the only thing—
Without realizing that.
Right, but then I had the only thing I had left were my dreams. And so when you accomplish your dreams, you can still go bigger. You're proud when you achieve something that you never thought you're able to do. People who do things for money are often sad. Their goal is to earn money, and then that's the problem. Once you reach your dream, there's always something bigger that you can chase. You can even go as far as to help others who want to achieve their dreams. Dreams have a definite stop. Although you can keep going, there is a line, and once you cross it, you've officially completed the goal, whereas money, it seems as if you can never have enough. But I think money is just a byproduct of a wonderful dream. Not the money, it's the dream. So when you finally achieve your dream on a big enough scale, you're going to realize that you just created more value than dollars or cents could ever do, Joe McKenzie.
Well, that makes complete sense to me. It resonates with me, and in my career, I haven't always been, in a position to command high salaries. But the fact of the matter is, one of my dreams was to help people with their careers, and seeing, many people achieve their dreams, or myself when I got that opportunity to be a leader in the Minnesota nonprofit sector. That like you said earlier, it kind of opened up a whole lot. Other sections of my life that just became more vibrant to me. And you're right. You can't put a price on that. You can't even put a monetary amount on it, because it overcomes you with great joy that you've achieved, but you also start seeing other opportunities out there. So what you said about now you've opened up a bigger part of your life to see that once you have those dreams and you can achieve them.
Absolutely. There is some wise person, I can't remember his name, but I still remember the words. He said, open your mind and see what's inside. And a lot of people have unrealized dreams because they stopped themselves. I mean, losing all that money and all that stock in Enron didn't stop me from dreaming. But I believe that dreams can give you a lot more in return than money ever could. I mean, sure, you can go to Disneyland 500 times, but the best experience are those that you can't buy. The ones that are perfect and the ones that is difficult to explain because it's an experience. I can't tell you what it feels like when you can help somebody along their way, when you can help somebody to achieve their goals. That's more value to me than about anything that I can imagine, Joe McKenzie.
And I can appreciate that too. And just think about your own legacy of how you've helped others, how you've helped an organization that, you know, move forward to help others. That legacy won't be taken away. That is your legacy, that because of your dreams, a big part of that will stand the test of time, and that can't be taken away. And so, you know, we look at it that way. You know, that person you helped, that organization you helped, because they're doing better, they can't take that away.
Exactly.
And that's how I, you know, when I'm listening to you, that's what comes to mind in my mind when you detail it that way.
I'll leave this because we're just about out of time. Think about this. Chasing money is never going to be as rewarding as chasing your dreams. Joe McKenzie, we'll leave it there. You do some fine work, sir, at Ripple Connects, and even when you're talking about words of the wise.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders. Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you, sir. And this is New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us this weekend, and it happened this week. On this date in 1984, construction began in Chicago on America's first skyscraper. The 10-story building would soon house the Home Insurance Company. In 1931, standing 102 stories above the ground, New York's Empire State Building was dedicated. In 1939, Batman made his debut as a comic strip hero by DC Comics. In 1941, General Mills introduced the Cheerios cereal. In 1963, James W. Whitaker of Redmond, Washington, became the first American to reach the top of Mount Everest. In 1967, Elvis Presley married Priscilla in Las Vegas. In 1971, Amtrak began service. In 1994, 34-year-old Formula One champion Ayrton Senna was killed when his race car slammed into a wall during the San Marino Grand Prix. In 2006, massive nationwide rallies and boycotts were staged in several cities around the United States, highlighting the role immigrants play in the American economy and society. The demonstration was billed as the Day Without Immigrants. And in 2011, President Barack Obama announced the death of elusive terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden from the East Room of the White House. Known to be the mastermind of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack on U.S. soil, bin Laden was killed in a mission carried out by Navy SEALs under President Obama's orders. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Leibel Sternbach. He is an enrolled agent with the IRS, a national Social Security advisor, a financial consultant, a CFP, but better, and a portfolio advisor from the Colleges of Financial Planning and Financial Services. He's the author of two different books entitled Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Leibel, hello, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And I'm really curious about today because we're talking about inflation. We're talking about taxes. We're talking about crazy markets so much. So I'm wondering, is there some kind of magic bullet, Leibel? What's the secret? What do we do?
I really wish there was a magic bullet because it would make my life so much easier. You know, I speak to, you know, investors, you know, day in, day out, and all of them, you know, they ask all their different questions, but at the end of the day, they're looking for that magic answer, that magic bullet. And they're very disappointed when I tell them that really the only magic bullet is to have a good process in place, right? You need to have a process in place for making financial decisions, because if you don't have that process in place, then you're just guessing, you're just gambling. And they're like, but Leibel, you know, what should I do? What should I invest in? What should I buy? And it's like, well, you know, everyone is different. And the answer for one person is different for a different person, right? But the fundamentals, right? The fundamentals, we need to make sure that the fundamentals are covered and the fundamentals are the same for everyone. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of what proportion and where you are in your stage of life.
So are the fundamentals the secret sauce to all of this?
I think so. I think the fundamentals are really the secret sauce, right? If you, you know, I'm not a big fan of Dave Ramsey, but if you look at him, he is always saying the same thing over and over and over again. And there's a reason for that, right? It's the fundamentals are what are going to protect you. And you just need to be savvy enough to be able to figure out how to apply it to the different situations. So, you know, for instance, right, you know, it doesn't take much to look around and see all these articles that are saying, well, the 60-40 portfolio is dead, you know, things like that. Well, the bond market, right, fixed income, you know, interest-bearing investments, they have changed fundamentally in a way that they haven't changed in over 20 years because interest rates have changed, right? So you know, applying the concept of, well, I want to have investments that don't fluctuate a lot that I'm going to live off of, that requires, you know, looking at your investments and saying, well, is it, you know, is the way I'm invested, is it for today or is it for yesterday? Is it for the future or is it for the past? Because what worked the last 20 years is not going to be what's going to work for the next few years, as a lot of people have found out that their moderate portfolios were actually super aggressive in terms of the type of losses they had. And now that they're going to the recovery, they're not recovering as much because the truth that held up for the last 20 years is not the truth that's going to be for the next 20 years, right? And so you need to have that process of being able to identify when these changes happen, these fundamental changes happen, and what to do about them.
We've seen in the last several months, maybe a year or so now, the interest rates creeping up to get a line, get inflation back in control. And I think a lot of individuals, their most direct relationship with inflation would be at the grocery store. They can see the different higher prices with grocery. So how do we protect ourselves from, protect our money, I should say, label from skyrocketing inflation? It's a three-part question. We'll start first with skyrocketing inflation.
All right. So how do we protect ourselves from inflation? And I mean, you know, so you have your decision-making process and you got to create really, you know, you got to create these layers of insulation between you and whatever is hurting you, right? So that, you know, if it gets through that first layer of protection, you still have a second layer. And if it gets through that second layer, you still got a third layer. And even if it gets through that third layer, you have time to react, right? And that's the biggest thing, is giving yourself the time and the flexibility to be able to decide what to do on your terms rather than the market's terms, rather than the Fed's terms, rather than Congress's terms, right? Because if you're operating on someone else's timeline, chances are you're going to make the wrong decision, right? Very few of us are wired to be able to make, you know, intensely right decisions under extreme amounts of pressure. And so we need to build that layer of protection into whatever we do. Now let's talk about inflation, right? There's only one way to protect against inflation. And you might think it's, well, I need to have a CD. I need to have something that returns interest. And here is a little secret for you. You will never get from the bank enough money to protect against inflation. Okay, they will always pay you less than what inflation is. And that's because they need to make money, right? So the only way to protect against inflation is to take on some sort of equity risk. You either need to take on, you know, excessive debt risk or you need to take on some form of equity risk. You need something that pays more than the current rate of inflation. And the bank generally doesn't pay more than the current rate of inflation because that's how they make their money. So you got to invest some in the stock market. There's no two ways about that. The stock market or the bond market, which has the part of the bond market that has as much risk as the stock market.
Very interesting. So that's part one, skyrocketing inflation. How do we protect our money from that? And how about protecting our cash from higher taxes later?
So higher taxes, this becomes a little more tricky, right? Because now we got to look into our crystal ball and we got to say, what is taxes going to be in the future? And here's the thing, right? I mean, people come to me all the time and I even, you know, I talk about it in my webinars, I talk about it in my videos and my writing, right? We try to project to the future what taxes will be, but we don't know what taxes will be. Right. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, you know, what actually will get passed in Congress. We don't know what, you know, they're going to try to make happen. what's going to get extended, what's going to get us shrunk. So what we need to do is we need to create that layers of protection, right? That multi-step plan so that, you know, if A happens, you know, if the worst case happens, we know what we're going to do about it. If the best case scenario happens, we're protected, right? And if something along the middle happens, we know what our choices are, right? So let's take an example for taxes. A lot of people are thinking Roth conversions right now. They're like, you know, market's down or it has been down. My portfolio is still recovering. Should I do Roth conversions this year? Should I take advantage of the fact that we have, you know, historically low tax rates, and we know in 2026 that the Tax Cut and Jobs Act is going to expire. So Congress is going to have to do something, and chances are the tax brackets are going to change, the tax code is going to change. So people are asking themselves that question: should I take advantage of the current tax climate? And here's the thing, right? The answer is different for every single person. I have yet to give the same answer to two people, and that's because it really depends on your situation. How badly would you be affected by a worst case scenario of tax rates going up significantly? How much of an advantage will it be to you if you took advantage of current tax rates, right? And ultimately, the question is, how will it impact your lifestyle, right? I met with a gentleman the other week, and he's, you know, he was talking to me about taxes, what to save on taxes. And I'm like, you know, dude, you've got more money than you know what to do with. You're not going to need any of this. So what is your motivation for saving on taxes? Is it just that you don't want to pay taxes? Or is there some other reason behind this? Mm-hmm. And let's address that actual reason, right? Is it that you want to give as much money to your, you know, your beneficiaries? Is it that you want to donate it somewhere? Is it you want to use it in your lifetime, right? Those aren't, you know, pay the least amount of taxes reasons. Those are things that you want to use your money with. So you need to ask that question first of what is the purpose of your money? And then you figure out, okay, how do I make that happen as effectively as possible? And sometimes that means reducing your taxes now. Sometimes it means reducing your taxes in the future. And generally it's somewhere in between where you take on some of that, like, okay, well, I think there's a 20% probability that I'm going to be paying higher taxes. So let's, you know, take appropriate actions where maybe I'll be wrong, but I won't be catastrophically wrong, right? So you got to have those layers. And the truth is that you need to be ready to take action. The closer we get to when that, you know, deadline happens, when Congress is going to take action, you need to be ready to take action. You need to know, okay, well, if in the news they're talking about, Congress is talking about increasing tax rates, I am going to convert this amount of money, right? I'm going to have this ready to go. Mm-hmm. And you need to have that plan in place. Otherwise, you're just exchanging, you know, a potential disaster for an actual disaster.
So how do credit cards fit into these layers of protection that you just mentioned a few seconds ago?
So credit cards and really, you know, loans against short-term loans that you can take out provide a serious amount of insulation, right? So and this can come in the form of an emergency fund. It can come in the form of a credit card. It can come in the form of a securities loan. And a securities loan is something that most people are not familiar with. It's sort of like the concept of when you have a 401k and you borrow money from your 401k. Well, in your non-retirement accounts, you can do the same thing against your investments, and you can actually do it at generally a better interest rates than what you would get from your 401k. Now, what does that do? That means that if there's an emergency, right? Let's say the stock market is still down and you need to pay for your living expenses, or you need to take money out for that required minimum distribution, but you don't want to lock in the losses of the market, right? Because you know, because you're a savvy investor and you know that locking in those losses in the market is going to hurt you in the long run, right? Not only are you going to lock it in, but you're going to compound your losses. And so you know that whatever you have to do, you have to let that money recover. But at the same time, you need money either for that required minimum distribution or whatever it is, right? So in order to satisfy those needs, right, you can get a, you know, whether it's you dip into your emergency fund or you use a credit card or you use a security loan. And really, A credit card would be the last in that list, unless you have a zero interest credit card. But you want to have something that gives you that ability to bridge that time period from where your investments are today to when you know they're going to recover, right? You know it's going to recover. We know the stock market is going to recover at some point, right? It's a very high likelihood of that happening because of inflation, right? So, you know, as inflation happens every single year, it means that everything becomes devalued, which means prices increase, which means that naturally the price of stocks, right, as a whole need to increase. So if we're positioned properly, we'll participate in that. So getting credit card, having some sort of loan to bridge that gap is extremely beneficial. Of course, you got to weigh the pros and cons, right, of how much you're paying in interest, but you also got to weigh the, you know, short-term interest versus long-term locking in losses. Right. And so that's why I build into every single plan that I build for people is we have layers of protection where, you know, OK, this is the money I'm living off of. This is the money that I'm going to live off of in 2 or 3 years. And if the market is down in 2 or 3 years, this is the money that we're going to be using to live off of so that we never have to take our long term investment. So we never have to hurt our long term financial success.
What you've just outlined, are these steps that our listeners can follow to have a more secure retirement plan?
Yes, absolutely. So on our website, there's something that I call the 321 retirement plan. And it's, you know, I outline step by step how to go through and implement this in your life. I talk about how we do it for our clients, but anyone can do this. And it's all about creating those layers of protection, that diversification, right? And that's really what the 321 comes from, you know, three layers of protection, you know, having that diversification so that, you know, even if one part of the market goes down, you have something to counteract that. So I walk through that step by step on the website. Look for the 321 retirement plan. Just go ahead and download that step by step instructions. If you have any questions, just shoot us an email. We're more than happy to help.
So we just go to yieldsforyou.com and get that information?
You got it.
That's yieldsforyou, yields, the number 4, the letter U.com and get that information. Well, Label, that's about all the time we have for today. Join us again next week, everyone, as we talk about which accounts to spend down first in retirement. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Just for fun this week on the Freddie Bell Show, the search is over for a New York television executive who 5 years ago put up a billboard in Times Square in search for a new kidney. 58-year-old cancer survivor Mark Weiner is now recovering from transplant surgery at his home in Long Island. Weiner calls that billboard, made possible by his wife's employer, a lifesaver. Hundreds of applicants responded to be potential donors, including a New York Police Department detective and a woman. It turned out they weren't a match for Weiner, but were for 2 other kidney patients. Weiner says it was those 2 donations that gave him what he calls the golden ticket and allowed him to get a kidney through a donor swap program. Rubber Ducks in Rhode Island raised a lot of money for charities. The 23rd annual duck race on Pawcatuck River raised more than $100,000. The race in Westerly brought in thousands of people who could sponsor one of the 18,500 ducks. The money raised will go to 40 local nonprofits. A library book checked out in New Jersey 44 years ago has finally returned. Back to the Basics was checked out of the Hopewood branch of the Mercer Library on July 25th, 1979, making it overdue by 1,600 days. A maintenance worker found it recently in a box of donated books. No word on where the book had been or who returned it. Late fees are 10 cents a day, which would make the fine $1,600 if the library didn't cap its fees at just $6. Scientists are now saying that by 2050, there will be more plastic in the ocean than there are fish. Another study also says that army ants collect their wounded and carry them safely off the battlefield, where they sit in the waiting room for hours hoping to see a doctor. And did you know that human beings may have had a brush with extinction 70,000 years ago? An extensive genetic study suggested that the human population at that time was reduced to small isolated groups in Africa, apparently because of drought. A study by Stanford University estimated the number of early humans may have shrunk as low as 2,000 before numbers began to expand again in the early Stone Age. In Greece, a man held up a bank at gunpoint. Moments after the robbery, he walked back into the bank because he couldn't find the keys to the rented motorbike he was using as a getaway vehicle and thought he might have dropped them inside. While he was looking, several employees and customers who had recovered from the shock of the robbery overpowered him and held the thief down until cops showed up. And finally, here are four things that you probably didn't know yesterday. It's time to upgrade our IQs. Number one, a company in China used to make beer from cow's milk. Number two, the average person's fingernails grow about 3 millimeters per week. Number three, during the 1912 Olympics, the last time tug of war was featured, the U.S. team competed without shoes to improve their grip. And number four, a jiffy is an actual unit of time measuring 33.3564 picoseconds.
Wait, what?
Just for fun this week on New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. Joining us right now is Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. And she's talking today about strategies to help enhance your job search. And quite frankly, Kathy, I did not realize that AARP Minnesota helps in that regard. Can you explain?
Sure. Well, hey, Freddie, thank you for having me. Sure, appreciate it. You know, the way we search for and interview jobs has just changed dramatically, certainly since the pandemic, but I think overall. And if you haven't, if you've been in the same industry for a long time or you haven't been on the job market for a while, you might be a little shocked to find out what folks are looking for in a resume, how they do the interviews, all of those kinds of things. And fortunately, AARP has some resources available to help folks do that.
So what do you have that's most immediate that our listeners and your membership can tap into?
Well, coming up in May, we have four opportunities for folks to participate in a workshop, a couple different places across the city and one online. Different tips for how you can maybe reframe any gaps that are in your resume, how to ace your interview, how to make an impact on your online job applications. You know, lots of folks are on the various, you know, professional networking sites or job sites, and it can be really discouraging to see that maybe 300 people have applied for a job that you're interested in applying for. And so knowing how to really network well, hone your interviewing skills, and how to make that impact when you apply for a job online is really important.
So, Kathy, are these opportunities, are these where you sit and you just listen to the instructor go on for a half an hour or so?
Well, they're great discussion opportunities, right? So you can connect with fellow job seekers, do some networking. They help you prepare for those tough interview questions and, you know, better understand how your work experience might be able to open some doors.
Everyone, we're talking with Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director, and she's telling us about strategies to help us to enhance our job search. Do you find that your memberships are telling you that when they're reached 50 years old, that is more competitive or at the very least more difficult to reintegrate or to change or leverage up in their career path?
Yes. So, I mean, we know from our research and from what our members are telling us that if you lose a job after 50, it is exponentially more difficult and it takes you much, much longer to get rehired. I think it's also difficult, even if you have a current job and you're just looking to change careers, particularly if you are looking for a complete career change, trying to figure out how your skill set and your experience might translate into that new role. And so these workshops can really help, you know, get advice on how to build your career or use those tools that help find out who's hiring.
When is the first workshop and where might it be? Can you list those for us?
I sure can. So May 11th from 4 to 6 p.m., it'll take place at the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center in St. Paul. May 17th, there's one from noon to 2 at the Ridgefield Community Center. There's one online on May 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. And then on May 24th, one more starting at 11:30 a.m. at the Columbia Heights Public Library. So lots of different locations to plug in.
What's the cost for these workshops, Kathy McClear?
These are absolutely free. They're free, they're interactive, and it's a great opportunity just to hone your skills and get some new strategies.
You know, I've been around you long enough that I know that there's probably registration involved. Is that the same for these?
Yep, absolutely. So there's a couple of different places. And if you just want to learn a little bit more about the job search in this particular age, you can go to aarp.org/work. Or you can always go for more information to aarp.org/MN.
Thank you, Kathy. Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director, talking about enhancing your job search. And this is New Beginnings. And we're back on New Beginnings, and thank you so much for joining us. Today is National Medal of Honor Day. It recognizes all Medal of Honor recipients. The Medal of Honor is the highest military award for valor in the United States and was created in 1861. On March 25, 1863, Secretary of War Edwin Stanton presented the first Medals of Honor to six members of Andrews Raiders for their volunteering and participation during an American Civil War raid in April of 1862. The Medal of Honor is awarded only to U.S. military personnel by the President of the United States in the name of Congress for personal acts of valor above and beyond the call of duty. There are three versions of the Medal of Honor, one for the Army, one for the Navy, and one for the Air Force. Personnel of the Marine Corps and the Coast Guard receive the Navy version. Since its creation, 3,400 medals of honor have been awarded to the country's soldiers, sailors, air people, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen. If you'd like to learn more, visit my website is freddiebell.com, and we'll be right back. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Charles Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, said, "That is your divine name. I am. No one can speak that. I can never say I, meaning Carol Moen. Only Carol can speak that divine name referring to herself and her creator. But none of the rest of us can. You have no other name in your life, no other description, no other title that is as special as I. Or I am. It is essential. Well, we'll leave this little debate for now, but just remember the importance of that single letter, that little iota, that little detail in your life. A greatly expanded perspective on this term, I am, is Christ, the Christ of God, the individualization of the infinite as you, the spark of the eternal, everlasting nature within you as God's creation. In Unity, it was taught by our founders and other teachers through the decades, a distinct meaning. When we speak of God as infinite and eternal source, the all of all, and then when we speak of Christ, yes, expressed in the amazing human being we know as Jesus of Nazareth, but in pure truth, the Christ is the spark of the infinite individualized. Do you get that idea? That of all there is, all there ever will be, all there can be, infinite source, there is a seed of that source in you. In you, That's an idea that makes me want to say, wow! Wow! Think of it. Think of it. Do you ever feel disconnected as I do? Discouraged in my Jamesness? In my little me? Then it's time to recapture, rethink, refeel this truth, this divine seed, spark, being, presence, the incarnation within each individual. Charles Fillmore said, "We are each God's perfect idea of being." And he hooked that all together with hyphens. You are God's perfect idea of being as you. Eric Butterworth, the beloved Unity teacher in New York, with his many beloved works, books, even Oprah Winfrey said that turned her life around, his book, Discover the Power Within You. It helped her grasp before her career blossom this idea, this truth, this power that has incarnated in your very being. Wow, Sharon, wow. So this Christ we can use in our prayer time. We've often heard in Christian teaching to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus even referred to that in the Gospels. So far, you have not prayed in my name. But when you do, you will have power. You will have answers. You will have blessings. So I grew up in the church thinking, well, as long as I remembered to slap on the end of my prayer request the name Jesus Christ, boy, that really sealed it. That did it. But now I begin to wonder, I don't think that's quite what that mysterious teaching, what Jesus called us to do. To pray in the name, if you prefer, pray in the name of God, of all that there is. But it's to pray in the consciousness, the perspective of that truth. So to pray in the name of Jesus Christ is to pray in that Christ consciousness, that great awakening. Now, don't be hesitant to pray in that nature, in that Christ consciousness, saying, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not worthy to pray. I can't even conceive of Christ consciousness. But the great missionary, the great developer, initiator of Christianity throughout the Mediterranean world was Paul. And he had many formulas, many ways of saying, catch this idea of the Christ mind. Let the same mind be in you that is in Jesus Christ. Let the same mind be in you. You don't have to say, I'm not good enough yet. That's throwing it all to the future again. You capture that perspective. Well, let me get to my theme. The Christ within. Do you understand that within as a preposition, a place, a location? Ah, yes, the Christ within me. Within my mind, within my heart, the essence of my being. Yes, that is true. But the Christ being infinite is within all. So that word within can be a preposition, a locator, you know, where something is located. Well, it's in Tim.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And here are today's words to the wise. Count it all joy. Today's words to the wise, count it all joy. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.